the Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless birthday boat in the bay up here in Beast Lick, Wyoming, in Soda Lake. And it is my 50th birthday. Actually, tomorrow's my 50th birthday, but I was born a few minutes after midnight on the East Coast, and I am in Mountain Time. So it, you know, hey, it's my birthday day already. Let's celebrate. Lusander Fiend said, I'm going to get really old. I'm going to turn 100 this weekend because I'm celebrating turning 50 twice.
And you're 50 in the place where you were born. Is that
I'm
what you were
saying? I'm
50
in the place where I was born. And I am returning there soon to that time zone for the first time in 5 years, 7 years, to attend Porcupine Freedom Festival with Davy Barker and Lusander Fiend. And we got the birthday hot tub going here. We got Davy Barker there. You there, Davy?
Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Good warming to you, too, sir. Lou, morning. I think, is under the water. We can't hear him. But
I'm
you
here.
Talk for a minute. I'm going to try to get him back. I think
we're waterboarding him.
Yes. I'm here.
Lou, happy birthday to me. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. I did fall off my diet, though. Not only am I eating deep fried crickets, I'm not eating deep fried crickets. I'm eating deep fried crickets cooked in bacon grease.
Are you eating any belt fed cheese?
It's way beyond belt fed. It's like
belt fed cheese
is I get this string cheese that comes wrapped in plastic, you know, something that's like barely food but tastes really good. It's wrapped in plastic, shrink wrapped, and it comes in a strip, and you can like tear off one or two of them, and it looks like you'd feed it into a machine gun, like belt fed ammo.
Yeah, my cheese is coming.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay. Method.
What, Lou?
I said my belt-fed cheese is coming in cluster bomb delivery method
into your mouth. So you're do you want absolution on the air for relapsing, or are you just saying, hey, it's Michael's birthday, that's a good excuse to eat whatever I want?
I apologize for nothing.
Are you just you were just following orders, eating those deep fried crickets,
just doing my job?
Yeah.
You know, I fell off my diet a little bit yesterday, and I have to say, I no longer believe in scientific progress. I can't believe that we live in 2014 and people have not invented a pizza that doesn't burn the roof of your mouth.
I'm just pretty amazed that they haven't invented, you know, some way to eat whatever you want and not gain any weight. But, you know, it's okay. We're all older men with muscles and bellies. We could all be in the same police lineup from the neck down.
Right.
My belly's going away. I was wearing shorts the other night when I was doing laundry, and they kept like falling down below the waistline, and I looked like a young guy.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that everyone out there in Radio Land wants to hear a bunch of middle-aged men talk about their inability to not gain weight. Although, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can relate. And I wish I had a magic pill for them, but I don't. If we did, we'd advertise it. Heck, I'd take it. So
yeah, I thought I was losing weight because my pants were falling down. Turns out I just bought a size too big.
Yeah, or you know, you get in the Grandpa Simpson gut where you have to like hike them up over, and if you don't, they fall down anyway. What is going on the Freedom Fiends today? That is what people must be asking. I don't know. These are mature thoughts for mature
men.
I
think today's episode is about aging gracefully.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Ben Stone and I did an episode called Aging Gracefully with Michael Dean and the Bad Quaker, but I wasn't yet 50. So.
And now you are.
So, gentlemen.
At least on some parts of the planet.
What's on your mind today, Davy? Are we going to make fun of leftist anarchists and comms?
Yeah, kind of. You guys talked about the consensus process of the Occupy movement yesterday, yes. And I spent a lot of time in the Occupy movement, at least at Occupy Oakland. Now, and there's some funny things that come out of consensus I thought I would talk about.
Tell me a little bit about that. Were you full on no government man, or, you know, what?
I was full on no government man, and there was a lot of full on no government men there, but the difference was that I believed in property and they didn't. So it was essentially like the Lockean staying up till 6 a.m. arguing with the Marxists. and so, you know, it was a good time. But the funny thing about this whole consensus process is that Occupy Oakland actually legislated itself out of existence using the consensus process.
Well, then they were successful. I mean, if they weren't, if there wasn't a need to be.
The government withered away. The Occupy Oakland government withered away.
That's a good thing.
Do you think it's possible that the person who brought up the consensus to poke it in that direction was a government plant?
No, I think it was absolutely – it was crowd outrage that did it. So essentially it's this. So originally it was 100% consensus, which means anybody could raise their hand and veto a motion. You needed complete consensus, right? And so I was that guy because I'm like, no, I don't want – I'm not going to let you guys damage property. I'm not willing to make our talking points Marxist. I'm not willing to like – I'm not willing to advocate anything but like – things that are peaceful, right? And so I got to veto a lot of those sorts of things. And then it came that people were having general assemblies during the day. So unemployed people had an advantage where make decisions for the whole group, and then all the people would get off work and come to the evening general assembly. And that would sort of become an announcement session as opposed to a discussion because there was consensus at noon.
Wow.
And so the Marxists or the unemployed sort of like gutter punk anarchists had control. They had seized the means of production in Occupy Oakland. And the people were really upset. So in the evening, they passed a bill, or they unanimously passed a statute which said that decisions for all of Occupy Oakland couldn't be decided except at general assemblies of 65 people or more. The problem was, after the big sort of enthusiasm over the Occupy movement happened, there were never any general assemblies of 65 people or more. And so they could never rescind this bylaw that they had passed. And so they could never decide on anything.
They didn't try to like bus in voters from Portland or anything?
No, people just lost interest.
So there's no Occupy Oakland anymore?
There's still a website. There's still a Facebook group. They're all on my email list. So when I like propose things locally, I send it to Occupy Oakland and I always get this response that's like, yeah, we don't have enough people at our general assembly to decide whether or not we want to sign your petition. So
how are you perceived and received being the... Were you the only non-Marxist there? Were you the only person who believed in property rights there?
There was a very sort of diverse ideology in the evenings when like the numbers would swell, and then like after everybody went to work, and then in the middle of the night, the Marxists sort of like held the ground. So it was
so the people who had jobs had stuff and weren't as interested in redistributing the wealth.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But they probably vote Democrat and vote anyway, so it happens anyway.
They were at least state socialists, that kind of thing, for the most part. There were a couple of Ron Paul libertarians around, but it was a great conversation, you know, because to even like get into a discussion with an ANCOM about property, I always like to bring it into the stuff in my pocket. Like, do you have the right to just take stuff out of my pocket, or do you have to ask my permission?
What did you say about backpacks one time?
Oh, nobody is as upset about a missing backpack as somebody who doesn't believe in property. Like things would go missing in the Occupy encampments and people would freak out and get upset and it would be shouting matches. And it's like, but you didn't even own that backpack. When maybe it was repurposed to somebody who needed it more, you know?
Lou, did you have a comment?
Yeah, something interesting about that. People complain about the Articles of Confederation because any amendments required a unanimous vote of all 13 separate nations. And by implementing the Constitution, they got rid of that unanimity. Perhaps the Articles of Confederation would have legislated the government out of existence.
Maybe. I mean, that would be the successful thing. You know, I've always said that the Libertarian Party, if they're successful, are going to vote themselves out of existence, because the longer someone is a libertarian, generally, the more they go toward small government, smaller government, smaller government, and then they go that last mile. That's the toughest one, too. Hey, why do we need kings telling us what to do? You know, I mean, you weren't there. Ben Stone was at the Pennsylvania Libertarian Party event, and Nima and I chimed in via video Skype for a Q&A after showing Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And like a third of the people in the room were ANCAPs, so straight up, you know, no government, don't vote kind of people. So I don't know what happened, you know, if they're.
You know, I think that last mile between the like small government libertarian and the no government ANCAP, I think that's a steeper mile than the difference between the no government ANCAP and the no government ANCOM. Like, I feel like that is one of the hardest miles for people to take politically.
Well, I tried
straight uphill.
Well, And it's all, and also going the last mile from minarchist to, and you know, full on no government man is a longer distance than the 1,000 miles from statist to minarchist. You can go state, a lot of people go statist to minarchist in one day. Like they see a movie that's really convincing, or they hear a speech, or they, you know, talk to somebody. But to go from, let's vote the right men in there like Ron Paul, to, hey, why bother, you know, choosing, why have leaders at all? Why back them? Why give them your vote of confidence? That's a lot further. I mean, I went from statist to minarchist in one night reading Boston Tea Party's book, You and the Police. And then it took me about 4 years and hanging out with Nima Vedati to go that last mile.
You know, Ernest Hancock says it doesn't happen all at once, but it happens overnight. And it did happen overnight for me. For me, it was the 2007 Stefan Molyneux against me argument speech at the Liberty Forum. And I was a small government Republican Ron Paul guy. And I saw that speech and I was just like, that's it. Everything fell apart for me. It was very like I had an existential crisis and I came out in ANCAP.
Yeah, for me, it was really simple. And I would have to say that Ron Paul's 2012 campaign kind of put me on a detour to my road to my true self.
Yeah, I think
I quickly got over that.
I think seeing the GOP shut out Ron Paul and do dirty tricks that were somewhere between violations of their bylaws and violation of voting laws to make sure that he couldn't ever get a chance, and then changing their bylaws at the Florida convention to make sure no one like him ever had a chance again, made me absolutely realize they're against liberty. They're against their own, you know, the Constitution that they claim to love. They're against the freedom they claim to love. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean's birthday weekend, 50th birthday party, here on the Freedom Fiends, with Dobby Barker and Lusander Fien. Woo! Woo! Woo!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
People of the world, unite and do not back communism, because communism's bad. We like capitalism. We don't like corporatism, though. We like real capitalism. Corporatism is government-backed capitalism. It's where the government picks the winners and losers. And, you know, people complain that Obama's doing that, and he is doing that, but so has every other president ever. Can you give me an example, Lou or Davi, of a Republican president who picked a winner or loser?
The TSA. I don't remember the name of the guy, but essentially the guy, they put in those backscatter porno scanner things, and it turned out that company was run by a sort of prominent person in the Republican Party.
Yeah, and we were talking about we were wondering
during the Bush administration. So
yeah, and I would say the war on drugs picks winners and losers. You know, they decide who should, you know, a whole class of substances that should be illegal, and then a whole class of people who get to point guns at them and get fat paychecks kicking in their doors.
The war on oil, or the war for oil. So, I mean, that's essentially picking the energy source that you want, right?
Yeah, instead of letting the free market take care of it. Yeah, if it weren't for governments, we'd all be driving flying cars that are powered on water and, you know, emit water
as exhaust, probably. So we were talking about.
If it weren't for the.
Go ahead.
If it weren't for the government, people would be using infrared scanners for security instead of radiation scanners, because infrared doesn't have to bombard you with anything, and it senses anything that is a different temperature, so it doesn't even have to be metal.
It just makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside while they slightly cook
totally
you.
It's totally non-invasive. I'm just saying, like, when there are private companies that need security of that level, I mean, which are always military-industrial complex sort of companies, but they use infrared, and they have for years. It's cheap, it's easy, it's non-invasive. Like, yeah, it's a total scam.
Yep. So speaking of things that are warm, coffee. We were talking about coffee shops, and you were wondering why leftists always want to run coffee shops. You have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, they're anti-capitalism, and then they run a company, which is, I'm assuming, based on the profit motive. So I don't know. Maybe there is something about the coffee industry that, like, lends itself to people who are economically illiterate. I don't know.
I think it's that when you drink a good, strong cup of coffee, you can sit around with people who think like you do and feel like you're about to take over the world, because the coffee just kind of stirs your body and mind and makes you feel really, really good, and you just want to get out there and do stuff. You don't, but you wanna. And go ahead. Over.
Well, it also goes into the independent coffee shop versus the corporate coffee shop.
Fair trade
versus, I don't know, unfair trade.
So they're fighting the establishment by selling their fair trade
beans.
Independent. Red
magic
coffee.
Beans. They want to use magic beans to take over the world.
they turn coffee into a ideological thing instead of a caffeinated drug like it should be.
Also, coffee comes from a lot of countries that have a lot of communist rebel forces. Now, you guys were we want to talk about the Che Guevara Cafe that's going out of business on San Diego State University, because communism doesn't work.
Have enough subsidies. That's why it needs more government money. That's the problem.
It needs more corporatism.
Tell me the story there. What is it, Davi?
I mean, it's essentially, you have this coffee shop, and it's, I think that it's the fact that it's subsidized is the funniest part, because they're anarchists. And then to call it the Che Cafe is this sort of ongoing joke about people that don't know anything about Che Guevara.
Who murdered anybody who he considered decadent. He hated rock and roll. He hated jazz music. He hated homosexuals. He hated drug use. He basically would have killed everyone at the Che Cafe the day after the revolution. He probably would have, I don't know if he would have killed him before the revolution, because, you know, the troops would have needed to stop in there and get some free coffee. You ever seen that movie Bananas with Woody Allen?
No, I've never even heard of that.
It's going back a ways.
Yeah, it's like 1971 or something. Woody Allen, you know, is basically playing himself in New York City, young nebbish who can't get women to pay attention to him, and he meets this woman who's, you know, a communist, and he decides to impress her by going down to the fictitious company of San Marcos. And there's a great, great, great scene in this movie. There's a there's a coup going on, and there's a news crew down there, and Howard Cosell is giving the play-by-play of, like, assassinating the dictator and installing the new dictator. It's pretty funny. But he accidentally becomes the puppet president of the U.S. Of the puppet dictatorship, wearing a fake beard. And we'll be back with more about Che Cafe and their silliness and why they're going out of business, and we're celebrating, and how I have been there and spoken and shown a movie.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree.
Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the Cowboy State. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. It's the Michael Dean 50th birthday party weekend with Lusander Fiend and Davi Barker. So Lou, what's on your mind, Lou?
Oh gosh, besides bacon. this weekend we're having a little backyard camp out at the Status Recovery House, and it's going to be like playing in our tree houses and listening to the Freedom Fiends radio show on our two cans and a string.
You know, there should be a non-socialist coffee shop somewhere where they just play the Freedom Fiends 24/7. Although, it's hard to...
Freedom Fiends is not a bad name for a coffee shop.
It's not, and I'm willing to license it at popular prices. And, you know,
fiending for my coffee.
Someone could probably use it without my permission, but then we would make fun of them until they go out of business. So the Shea Cafe is the Shea Guevara Cafe. It's called the Shea Cafe. It's on San Diego State University, and it's going out of business because it's run communist-like, and communism doesn't work.
Right. And it's called the Shea Cafe Collective because communists love calling things collectives.
Yeah, they're collectivists. And, you know, if you call them collectivists, they get mad, though. Collectively, I can say that all communists get angry if you call them collectivists.
All of them, right. It sounds like what they're really upset about is that they're no longer being subsidized. That's sort of like, because they're calling this a university decision. All the university decided was, hey, we're not going to fund you anymore. So, like, they're bleeding money. They can't afford a rent. They're getting money from, it says it's coming out of tuition. And the university's like, no. Like, the student body isn't drinking your coffee. They're not happy with your coffee shop. You're essentially squatters that are being subsidized.
Let me read from this article on, the IR Review.
The IJ Review?
Yeah. The student-run school newspaper, The Guardian, laments the closing of the cafe but acknowledges it's a money pit that has been lacking smart financial sense for years. A communist-style business lacking financial smarts? You don't say. The editors say the student fees being poured into the cafe are not worth it. It's lost over $1 million overall, and 83% of students polled said they've never even been there. Going to college involves...
I wonder if they actually serve coffee.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe they don't.
They do. Okay, here's the thing. I've been there. I've spent an evening there. I know the Shea Cafe. I worked for the Shea Cafe, and you, sir, are no Shea Cafe. No, I am not. I am not a communist. I have never been a member of the Communist Party.
Have you ever been an employee of the Shea Cafe?
No. Well, they paid me money. They paid me money that they took in at the door. I made a few $100s.
So you're saying they exploited your labor?
Yes, they exploited my labor. I made this film called DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, that I will be showing at Porkfest and giving a Q&A afterwards. And this movie, it doesn't really have a political agenda, but it's just interviews with people who do art themselves. And don't rely on, you know, and don't rely on subsidies, basically. And it was very popular among ANCOMs, probably partially because it has the band Fugazi and the Ian MacKay, who runs a worker-run record label, Discord, that actually has made a profit for like 25 years. They're worker-run, but they're not communist. So, and they're not a collective. So I don't think, I don't know. They're a little, they also have a product that you can't get anywhere. You can get coffee anywhere, but you can only get Discord records from Discord. So
it's a good name for a record company.
It is
too.
Discord. Yep. And, this movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. I toured with it all over America and all over Europe, showing it in coffee shops, youth centers, church basements, people's homes, colleges, movie theaters. I mean, I showed it like 200 times and gave speeches, gave talks and Q&As showing it. And I showed it at the Shea Cafe in San Diego. They invited me to show it The first edition of my movie DIY, my movie $30 Film School, the first edition of it comes with a CD, not a DVD. And the CD has a video on it of us at the Shea Cafe. And I mean, I sent you guys links to prove this, because this is the second time this week that we've discussed an ANCOM event where something funny happened. The first one was ANCOMs yelling at ANCOMs, anarcho-communists not letting someone who was one of them speak. And then the other was this. And I'm like, yeah, I've showed my movie at both those places. So you can confirm, right? One of you probably looked at the links I sent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I showed it there. It was pleasant. It was packed. It was people were smoking there. You could smoke there back then. It was in 2004. Now, here's the really interesting thing about it. The day I was there, the day before, they'd been investigated by the U.S. State Department for an apparent violation of the USA Patriot Act. The Patriot Act in 2004. These are the first people I ever heard of getting in trouble over the Patriot Act. I'm sure people did before that, but the thing that they got in trouble for was bizarre. A website that was associated with them, it wasn't even them, it was like some of the members of the collective had this this website called Burn, the Burn Project. And okay. And they had a list of links of what, like, check out these other websites. And one of them was FARC. Do you know what FARC is?
F-A-R-C. Yeah, it's not, sort of like Snopes, isn't
no,
it?
Not F-A-R-K. F-A-R-C, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia People's Army. It's a Marxist-Leninist peasant militia in Colombia that's involved in kidnapping, ransom, mining extortion, and distributing basically growing coca to sell to the CIA, probably somehow to sell to America to buy more weapons to arm their people's revolution.
Let me clarify something here. Are you talking about the Colombian government, or is this an independent group?
It's an independent group, FARC.
Okay, because you just described a government.
Yeah. Well, it's an unauthorized government. It's some people who decided to act like a government.
No magic parchment?
Government. Yeah, but here's the thing. The Shea Cafe's, like, some of their members had this other website where they had it on their list of, you know, their link roll. And what they were accused of by the U.S. State Department was providing material support and computer systems to a terrorist organization. They said
that meant they linked
them. They linked them. And they said that was providing material support. And, it makes it sound like the Shea Cafe, you know, got a cargo plane and flew a few thousand computers down to them. No, they linked them, man.
That, I feel like that is a lot of what material support for terrorism ends up actually being. It's always like
acknowledging them and not condemning them.
You picked up a hitchhiker and gave him a pair of socks, and that hitchhiker turned out to be somebody. And so it's material support for terrorism.
Yeah. But that was pretty bizarre. Like the day I was, like, I walked in there in the afternoon to do this, and everyone was buzzing about it. Like, that was the first thing I heard anyone say when we walked in there. I went down there with my crew. I made film with a crew. It was like a gang. It was like a rock band. It was like, I do everything like that. I never leave the house, but when I do, I have a posse. Or just, you
so
know,
were they like,
I hang
were they
with.
like cowed and terrified, or was this like a badge of honor to them that they
both.
Had finally gotten government
both.
Attention? Okay.
It was both. Cause you know, how did you feel when the TSA, you know, threatened to throw you in prison because they thought they saw Bitcoin? Were you thinking simultaneously, it's, wow, this will make a good blog post, and,
yeah,
oh my God,
true.
I end up in prison?
It was both. That's a good point.
You know? I mean, you know, ANCOMs and ANCAPs probably feel about the same way when the government decides to finally clamp down on them.
Well, it's that whole, you know, you're over the target if you're taking fire. What's that expression?
Taking flak. Taking fart.
Taking flak.
Yeah, Lou. Lou is in the military. Flak. And, you know, I want to thank, it is Memorial Day weekend. I want to thank both of you for your service in the Liberty Movement.
You're very welcome.
So, Lou, chime in here.
Yes. I think it's just really amazing that a socialist coffee shop is getting its subsidies cut off by a socialist institution such as a public university. That's like socialism on socialism violence.
Well, they're done
it's
being
oppression.
They've decided they're no longer useful idiots because they're not going to help. I think they're not going to help get Hillary elected.
I think the
university
needs to check its privilege.
The poor, How are the poor underprivileged university students going to learn about Che Guevara if not from the murals in this coffee shop?
T-shirts.
It's been
open sourced. You don't need a central repository for his thoughts now. You can just buy his T-shirts at the Gap, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Che Guevara T-shirts are pretty – they're so funny because, I mean, it's totally a capitalist enterprise. They're printed on garments made by slave labor in some country. They're –
I think you whatever. Should. What do you think of the pros and cons, Davi, of you making T-shirts or buttons that have a picture of you in the style of the Che Guevara T-shirts?
Just me, my own face,
just your little bearded face, your little bearded anti-communist face.
Does it have to be a red shirt? We should get gold shirts.
Ah, yeah. Communists. They're so idealistic and silly, and you know. They're anti-gun, but they always want to have revolutions. I mean, that the fact that that website was called Burn with an exclamation point. Burn. Lou.
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was in Germany when the wall came down, and I have to tell you, the number of people that shot out of East Germany like they were rockets was just unbelievable. I met so many people that said, I'm never going back there. I don't care if it's reunification. I don't care if it's going to quit being a horrible place and all this other stuff. I am never setting foot back on the other side of that border, even though the border was gone. You know, I know a lot of people, particularly the West Germans, they still refer to it as East Germany. Well, I don't know about today, but like back when I was there and you know, anybody that had any skills or anything worth doing, they got out of there. And I didn't see a bunch of people rushing to go over to East Germany before the wall came down. Although I did have some friends that went over there to work for the government as part of the rebuilding and part of the business thing. And East Germany looked like Detroit without all the vacant buildings and broken windows.
Yeah, it's
because they didn't have enough buildings to be vacant.
I was there not long after that, about 9 months were there, on reunification day. I was in Schweinfurt, and then we went up to Berlin and played a gig and stayed at an ANCOM squat called KOB, K-O-B, in Berlin. And it stood for something. I don't know. I got to say, though, those anarchists were a lot more serious than American ANCOMs because they would go, like, you know, regularly get tear gassed and abused by cops in the street and go back day after day after day and do it. I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go, commie, go.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Yeah. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. I'm 50. I was supposed to be dead by 30. That was the plan. I guess I messed up.
Isn't it 27? 27 is the age.
Yeah, but see, when I was 27... The 27 Club wasn't a thing people talked about yet. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Janet, I used to be in a band called the 27 Club.
Yeah, but you're younger than me. Janis, Jimmy, and somebody else had died at 27, but people didn't.
Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison. There's
Kurt
a whole
Cobain
bunch of them.
Died when I was 31 or 30. Yeah. Oh, I got off drugs right after Kurt Cobain died. So we were talking about the state of existence of Michael Dean After Dark.
You can't use state that way. Yeah, the word state activates my hyper fight and flight mechanism.
I know. I said we're talking about buttons that we're going to have at Pork Fest, and we love Pork Fest, and we're going to be at Pork Fest. But we're talking about the different buttons Davi and I are going to be selling and giving away. And Lou said,
I'll go to therapy one day, and the therapist will say, I want you to try to foster a tranquil state. And I'll be like, tranquil state? That doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. I said something about I still have a 200 Michael Dean After Dark buttons, which is the show that has morphed into the Nighttime Freedom Fiends. And I'm going to give them away because Michael Dean After Dark is still, it's not a show anymore, but it is the state of hanging out with Michael Dean After Dark. You know, if you're hanging out with me at Porkfest After Dark, you get to wear a Michael Dean After Dark button because you're enjoying Michael Dean After Dark. And I said that, and when I said the state of hanging out with Michael Dean After Dark, Davi got all upset because I said the word the state. So I said during the break also that I think we should do a little refresher right here because I think the show was getting a little bit insider baseball to where, you know, the people on the internet, on the LRN are going to understand, but some of the people listening on the radio are going to be like, what are these people talking about? What are their politics? I don't get it. They said they hate Obama, but then they're talking about communists and they're talking about like anarchists and I don't get this. What are these people? And I can understand the confusion. You know, you're driving from church to go to the VFW potluck picnic and you turn on your favorite radio show expecting to hear Rush Limbaugh and you hear us. And explain what we are, Davi. And Lou, go ahead.
I think I'll go first. So
let's go around the room.
What are we? There's a lot of words for it, right? And this is sort of like the debate you guys had on your show, which I'd never heard of, which is thick or thin libertarian. So I think, I don't know if I can speak for Lou, but I think what we are thin libertarians.
Yeah.
Or what they call small L libertarians. Which means that we're not involved with the libertarian.
That's different.
That's different.
You can be a thick libertarian and be a small L libertarian. Because Big L libertarian is Libertarian Party. We're small L libertarian, which means we're not Libertarian Party. We're just libertarian. We're actually some flavor of what would be considered anarcho-capitalist or voluntarist. Would you all agree to that one? Can I put that one on y'all?
I like voluntarist.
We have consensus.
Sure.
We have consensus.
We have consensus.
You can't see it. They're all doing the Occupy Wall Street fan signals.
Jazz hands.
No, we're not communists. We don't break public property. We don't break private property.
It comes down to is the non-aggression principle. And that is that we take as a moral stance that it is always inherently illegitimate to violate a person's property or person as a form of aggression. And that goes for everyone. That goes for other civilians and that goes for states.
Yeah, and I like guns. Lou likes guns, but he lost them all in a boating accident. I think Davi likes knives, don't you?
I do like knives. I like swords, too. I would probably like guns more, but I live in California and I'm bureauphobic, and so it's difficult for me.
Bureauphobic.
You're not allowed to like guns.
I know.
Something else. Along with the zero aggression principle, and for all the Christians out there, you go back to the Bible and the teachings of Jesus with do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The zero aggression principle is based upon the golden rule. It's also based upon kindergarten rules of don't hit and don't steal. And just for a little bit of clarification, this is something that Ben talks about, but
Ben Stone, bad Quaker.
Yeah, I deviate a little bit. When you look at the different things like government, states, and state, the government is the guns and the people that wield them. The states are the geographic monopolies on gun pointing, and the state is the religion that legitimizes the existence of governments and states.
Yeah. We like Christians. We don't like the religion of the state, and they should stay away from each other. And, you know, who would Jesus drone? If you're a Christian or any religion, don't back war. War is just killing innocent people. And thank you guys for your service in the Liberty Movement. We'll be back with more in hour two of the Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean's 50th birthday party weekend. Extravaganza with Davi Barker and Lusander Fien.
Woo!
Worms.
Make party noises, guys. Woo! 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 Say hi, baby.
Hi, Daddy. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Freedom Fiends, Hour 2 of the Michael Dean, that's me, 50th birthday party celebration weekend extravaganza. Tomorrow is my 50th birthday, but I was born on the East Coast right after midnight, so that means I was born right before midnight in Mountain Time where I am. So yeah, I'm here. And what did you say, Lou, about the Shea Cafe getting their money taken away by the government?
Yeah, they just got their privilege checked.
Yeah.
And as far as multiple birthdays, are you using Common Core mathematics to determine your age and when your birthday is? Common Core calendar?
Yeah. It's all weekend. That thing that's going around of check your privilege, I find that really offensive. What is that and who says it to who for what?
Marxists say it to everyone, believing that it is the trump card to win any argument. And it's essentially, if you were born into any sort of category which can be demonstrated to have any sort of a statistical advantage over the aggregate of society, then you must also experience that advantage, and therefore you should be able or be willing to shut your mouth and let anybody who does not experience that advantage speak first.
It's often used on white males, but it can be used on anybody.
White male, Christian, straight. They call it cis. Cis means you identify as the gender that your body looks like. So there's all these categories of people that are not allowed to speak at Marxist events or at least privileged
or
preacher events.
Or speak in the same room at a discussion on the campus. You know, it's to shut you down. Now, we need a name for that as a fallacy.
It's the privilege fallacy.
Ill privilege autumn.
The real fallacy that it is called the ecological fallacy. And that's the fallacy which says that you can determine the traits of an individual based on the traits of their aggregate. That's sort of heady, but what that means is just because white people experience higher levels of education, that doesn't mean you can assume that I'm well-educated.
Yeah. Oh, I live in Wyoming.
Right.
A lot of brilliant people in Wyoming. I'm just saying I have met my share of illegitimated cleti in America who are white and not educated. And I've met stupid people of all colors.
The other problem with the privilege thing is that it only focuses on those traits which are apparent by looking at a person.
That's so racist. It doesn't
matter what the person's income is, what the person's level of education is, where the person is from. Like those sorts of things, which are actually have more of an effect on their outcome and their advantage in life, are not. Those don't matter because you're white.
There's a thing going around, kind of a dad spam that conservatives and a few libertarians are forwarding about some white kid at some university being told to check his privilege and then giving his backstory, which was, I don't know if this really happened or not, but it makes a good story. You know, like he'd fled communist something, you know, some satellite.
His family is from the Holocaust. This happened. It had to have happened. There's no way that they would get away with a fake story like that, saying that he's from like a university. Like people have interviewed him. He's a real person.
Okay.
Not everybody was privileged enough to escape the Holocaust.
What's that?
That's not true. Not everybody was privileged enough to escape death camps and Holocaust.
This is my other problem with it, is that privilege is like what they're talking about is rights violations, and by calling them privileges, what they're essentially saying is not that the rights violation needs to be remonstrated, but that the person whose rights were not violated needs to be violated.
Yeah.
Like this is my problem with it. It's a crab metallic thing.
Yeah, the way that a lot of socialists and communists want to even the playing field is not the way we do, which is by getting rid of the government and enabling everyone to be 8 times richer willing to work. They want to make everyone 8 times poorer and more harmed.
What it is they don't want a rising tide that raises all boats. They want a tidal wave that sinks all boats, because at least at the bottom of the ocean, everyone is equal.
Explain crab mentality, Lou. That's a good term that Davi brought up. I like that, but not everyone knows what it means. And I had lobster yesterday. You know, I had lobster yesterday because I'm enjoying my privilege. No, I haven't had lobster in like 3 years. And so for birthday weekend, we went out for lobster. And I got a whole lobster and didn't realize that that's what it was going to be. And brought it. They brought me this food and it was staring at me. And I just kind of looked at it and I turned it over because I didn't want it staring at me. And the waitress said, "Should I crack your lobster, sir?" And I was like, "Excellent, yes." And she pulled it onto her plate on her cart and took all the meat out of it and gave it back to me without the eyes in the face. It was pretty cool.
Wow. Did she cut your steak for you too?
No. And we have an ongoing joke about in England, steak knives are illegal. And, I was saying to my wife, like, well, how do you cut your steak then? They're not illegal, but they're regulated. And, you know, you can get arrested for having them if they don't like you. And I said to DJ, how do you eat them? And they said they send someone from the National Health to cut your steak and chew it for you and drop it into your mouth like a mother bird.
Oh, for God's sakes. But the crab mentality. There's an old phrase called crabs in a bucket. And what that is if you have a bunch of crabs in a bucket or a tank or something like that, they don't care what the other crabs do. But as soon as one crab looks like he's going to escape, the others will reach up, grab him, and pull him back down. And that's where this whole check your privilege mentality comes from. It's basically saying anybody that escapes or anybody that is successful, it's their fault. And the person that doesn't escape or the person that isn't successful, it's not their fault.
And the person who doesn't escape blames it on the person who did escape.
Yep. Right.
Because there's always some. There's always some central planner that's pulling the strings on all the puppets and picking winners and losers.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how many of these ANCOMs or anarcho-communists or socialists or people who would want to link FARC, F-A-R-C, you know, FARC are really bad people. I don't know why you'd want to link them as, hey, check this out. A lot of these people vote. Which is really bizarre to me that someone can be against all government, hate the imperialist U.S. government, but want to vote and tell it to do things. Like we were looking at an ANCOM site the other day, Lou and I, and they had an article about why people should petition the governments of the world to raise the minimum wage to $15. You know, first of all, that's people who are against government asking governments to do something and therefore co-signing governments and perpetuating their existence. And secondly, Lou, explain what a fast food worker looks like at $15 an hour minimum wage.
That fast food worker has a touch screen and you can choose what you want to eat. And if you're at Walmart, that cashier has a little scanner, little red beam that comes out and it does the barcode on there.
He looks like a gas station attendant. That's what he looks like. I mean, like, have you noticed that all gas stations have been replaced with these, like, automated pumps? I mean, it's the same thing.
There's actually a couple states, and Oregon is one, and Oregon is ground zero for ANCOMs, you know, Portlandia. You know, I was wondering if Portlandia, the show, is going to do a skit based on that anarcho-communist getting shouted down by anarcho-communists and not being allowed to speak. It looked like a Portlandia skit to me, but Oregon has a law where, and I think Washington State too, one or both of those states have laws where you can't do self-serve. It's a jobs program.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So maybe they'll do that for fast food. Maybe they will do away with automated restaurant checkout, whatever, or vending machines for that matter. Vending machines is the same problem. We should outlaw them as a jobs program.
Well, they'll probably wind up doing away with the restaurants and the stores themselves because they won't be able to afford to keep things going, or they'll have to jack up the prices so high that customers won't be able to afford the stuff, or they'll choose to go elsewhere.
Until we're all just being served tasty Michelle Obama-approved gruel at a FEMA camp, being ladled out by a worker who's making $120,000 a year with benefits.
Obama gruel.
And still can't afford his own health care.
Obama gruel. Yeah, Lou was talking about statists who want to have what did you say about the Stop Free Keen people?
Oh, the joke about the Stop Free Keen people is that they want to turn the Keen Activity Center, Ian's home, into a museum to the state. Well, there's plenty of museums to the state already. You got Auschwitz, you got Dachau, you got Lefortovo Prison in the Soviet Union.
Even like Tule Lake in the United States.
What's Tule Lake?
You got Wounded Knee.
Tule Lake is a Japanese internment camp. They've turned it into a museum of the state, and you can visit it and learn all about, you know, what they don't teach you in school about Japanese internment.
Yeah, hey, but those kids were free because they were still able to say the Pledge of Allegiance while they were in there.
You know, a lot of the people who were thrown into Japanese internment, like people like to pretend it's not that bad because whatever, they were let free, but all of their property was seized. Like, that's what's crazy. These people own land. They're thrown in an internment camp and all of their property is seized. And then when they're let out of the internment camp, the government is kind of just like, oh, well, whatever. We've repurposed your land. So go make another life for yourself.
Wow.
They got their privilege checked.
Yeah, right.
They did. Yeah, and it's amazing to me how your typical statist, especially leftist lately, will just say all sorts of horrible things to you if you talk about preparing for the possibility of something like that happening again, especially when the people running the government
hoarding is terrible.
Their playbooks are the same people. You know, which wasn't FDR, who interred the Japanese? Which president?
It was FDR.
Was it FDR?
That was Red
I'm
DR.
I'm pretty sure it was FDR.
Okay. It was,
DR.
I thought it might have been the other guy on the dime, Eisenhower. But you know, I mean, FDR, Obama loves him. Kathleen Sebelius loves him.
Democrats love him.
Kathleen Sebelius loves Che Guevara, too. Yeah, Republicans love him. My dad, my 94-year-old dad, who hates communism and hates Democrats and said Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and was right about at least two out of three of those things. I've never smelled Obama's feet, but I thought it was pretty cute that he said that about him, and we made a rap song.
You want an ironic Guevara shirt? We ought to do an FDR shirt.
In the form of do that, man. Yeah, he killed a lot of people. He probably killed more people than innocent people than Che Guevara.
Yeah,
if you
know,
like
but
your
union,
gold, so you can keep
all
it.
Sins are forgiven.
If you like your gold, you can keep it. That's what you'd say. There you go, Davi. We're just making new shirts for you left and right here. It's what?
It's a fiend meme.
It's a fiend meme. Yeah, Davi has some really cool buttons he's made that he's going to sell it and give away at Porkfest. Sell or give away?
I think I'm going to give away at least to kids. They'll be free for kids. I might charge them.
There you go. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean, 50th birthday extravaganza weekend with Davi Barker and Lucander Fien.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
check your privilege if you receive money from the government. Check your privilege if you say that government is the answer to problems instead of the cause of problems.
I call it obedient privilege. People need to check their obedient privilege, because I'm willing to bet that people who are obedient to the government earn more, they're harassed by police less, they're charged with crimes less, they probably enjoy higher levels of education and income. I think obedient people really need to check their privilege.
Expand on that, Lou.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of nonsense.
Curveball.
Personally.
Yeah. Curveball.
I'm going to quote Bill Buper, don't question authority, question obedience.
Yeah.
You know, I actually changed the motto of the Pork Scouts to that. It used to be raising a generation that questions authority, and thanks to Bill Buper, I changed the motto to raising a generation that questions obedience.
Yep.
And when should you start questioning obedience? Is it when they bring in the cattle cars or somewhere way before that?
I think it's the moment your parents tell you where to pee. It's at least worth questioning.
You know, you sent me some images, Davi. Explain these bathroom images you sent that are going around the interwebs.
Bathroom images. Yeah.
It's not filthy. You thought I was going filthy.
No, it's not at all. It's a clean bathroom. It's a public restroom. It's nice tile. It looks like it's on a hotel or something, but yeah. I don't know. But the thing is, somebody decided it would be a good idea to hang pictures of women above the urinals in the men's restroom doing things like laughing and pointing or taking pictures or pulling out a ruler and measuring. So there's these like posters of women mocking men's appendages at the urinals.
But there were ones that I think they were in a women's bathroom over the toilets of men doing the same thing. So it wasn't.
So that was my response. That I photoshopped one of the.
Oh, okay. I was going to say they looked photoshopped. Okay.
So the one in the men's room is real, and I was sort of offended by it. And so I made a sort of, you know, I said all's fair in love and gender war. So I photoshopped one of the men in the women's room mocking them while they pee, and, you know, people didn't appreciate it.
You know, you were talking about thin libertarianism and thick libertarianism, which is one of the dichotomies that's the talks that's raging now, and we've decided we're pretty much thin libertarians, which means we only care about the non-aggression principle being enforced, and all the other stuff would fall into place. And you know, we have other pet projects, but we don't include them in the you must believe these other things like thick libertarians.
So it's a public policy position. My public policy position is the zero aggression principle. Beyond that, there are things that I think matter, like peaceful parenting, like good communication, like commerce, you know, stuff like that. But as far as what I think other people should be bound by, the social contract, if you will, that I believe in is the zero aggression principle, period.
Yeah. And Lou, what did you say about Republicans and Republicans when they're running versus after they're elected?
They run as anarchists or libertarians, but then they govern like Democrats.
Give me examples. So they do run like anarchists. I mean, every Republican running now is sounding like, I'm more small government than the next guy. And then once they're elected, give me an example of how they act like Democrats, Lou.
Well, let's go with the godfather of conservatism, Ronald Reagan. He was a gun grabber in 1968, I believe it was. He signed the Mulford Act, which
that was before he got shot, too, wasn't it? Yeah, as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he implemented some gun control measures in the People's Republic of California.
It didn't work, too, because he got shot. The gun control didn't stop him from getting shot.
Well, he didn't get shot in California, so I guess you could call it a success.
Was it Illinois?
No, I almost want to say it was in Mordor, but
D.C. It was, yeah.
I believe he also did some more gun control stuff in 1986. He was a big, giant spender.
He raised taxes.
You know, he raised taxes.
He raised taxes three or five times.
Because lot of the Reagan quotes that people throw around, like, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Is a bad thing. You know, he said, yeah, the scariest words in the English language.
In the pursuit of liberty.
No, that's like, these are, no, that one. Say that one again. That one got squished. What did you say?
Extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice.
He didn't say that. And that was Barry Goldwater. And Barry Goldwater didn't write that. That was written by Carl Hess, an actual anarchist who was his speechwriter, who was smoking hash and writing speeches for him.
Apparently, I've buried the lead, because what I'm trying to say is that a lot of these quotes people attribute to Reagan are actually They're actually from anarchists. You can trace Reagan quotes back to anarchist philosophers, and that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Don't negate the premise, as they say in that comedy class Death Clock episode. And we will not negate the premise. We will come back and tell you what's wrong with the world and how we'd fix it on the Freedom Fiends birthday weekend extravaganza, Michael Dean 50th birthday.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelps from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends birthday extravaganza, Michael Dean.
Dobby Barker.
50th birthday weekend. And Lucander Fiend. The gang's all here, man. We're a gang. I like to do... When I was in a rock band, I read this quote. It wasn't a quote. It was what my friend said. He said, the best rock bands are like gangs. And that didn't necessarily mean they did violence, but it was like they always hung out together. They always did stuff together. They kind of walked around like they didn't care what they did. The Rolling Stones, I remember, said... Mick Jagger once said, we're the Rolling Stones. We pee where we want. And he didn't say pee. He said the other word that's less radio friendly. And I was like, that is so cool, man. Like dogs, like cats, man. And you know, I don't do that anymore, but but I kind of feel like I do talk radio like a gang. I have a virtual entourage. Not even an entourage. I'm not the gang leader. I don't call the shots. I just say, hey, let's meet at this place at this time and go on the sky. We're just friends having a talk here, and it happens to be on 24 radio stations, which has just kind of been my whole life dream. And yep, I've met my life dream. So along with the pee where they want thing, this is kind of interesting. Comment on lefty anarchists, the ANCOM types. When I was touring with DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist in Europe, I was doing it a lot of anarcho squats, which in Europe means the communist type. You know, the people that want to get rid of the government and replace it with labor unions that act like the government. And a lot of those places in the bathroom, in the squat, there was a pictographic sign on the door with a guy standing up and peeing and a line through it, or the international no symbol. And I was like, what is that? And they were like, oh, we want you to sit down when you go to the bath, when you urinate. And I'm like, what? Why? And they said it was because it was easier to clean. And I'm like, I don't spill. I'm an adult. And they're like, and like, they didn't have doors on a lot of these bathrooms because they told me it was because they felt that, you know, doors were an invention of the patriarchy or something doors like that.
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
That's how they kept women in their kitchens.
Yeah.
So dual.
Well, doors. I got to say this too. Like, they were thick anarcho comms. You know, they weren't thin. They had agendas other than getting rid of the government. They were all uber feminist. They were, even the men, they were all uber. I don't know. What else do those people like, Davi? Lou? I can't even remember.
They like feminism. They like labor unions. They like transgender issues. They like miseducating the young.
Thank you. I've blocked it all. Exactly. I've blocked it all out of my head. But and here's the thing:
they like crystals.
They like what?
They like crystals. They like granola.
Don't. No, they don't.
Not the ones I knew.
Lou?
They like everything except for work, success, earning a living, and providing things for other people.
Well, these people
like posters of people working, though.
Yes. Well, actually, in Europe, a lot of them work at their own squats. Because in Europe, there's this weird deal with the government where a lot of times they'll if you squat a building in some countries, an abandoned building long enough, the government will steal it from the owner and then lease it to you for like €1 for 99 years, as long as you improve the place and provide outreach to the public, which generally means giving classes for children on, you know, destroying the state. So the state will pay people, will let people do that and steal the house for you. Basically to keep you off the streets, basically to have them all in one drone rich environment for when the time comes. But I was blown away by the fact that they didn't have doors in the bathrooms and they had signs telling men to sit down when they pee, you know, like some skinny guy's first day in prison. Some man comes up to him and says, I'm going to call you Tiffany and you're going to sit down when you use the bathroom. You know, it felt like that. And it was like, they actually checked, you know, they didn't have cameras yet that I knew of, but they got on my case because I stood up when I peed and I said, I'm an American. And that just blew their mind. It was just everything they expected and everything they wanted the ugly American to say. But yeah, man,
talk about privacy being dead. There's no doors on the restroom and we're gonna make sure you pee right.
Yeah. And these people were, you know, they were protesting government surveillance too, but I guess they had their voluntary private surveillance in their own stinky squats.
There's a lefty place in Santa Cruz that I actually appreciate their bathroom policy. They do have doors, but instead of male and female on the doors, they have aliens and robots, and so you have to decide if you're an alien or a robot. I tend to go alien. But both the bathrooms are the same.
In Wyoming, a lot of the bathrooms have a cowboy and a cowgirl on the doors. Wonder what the anarchy.
Where do the city folk go?
Back to the city. Go ahead, Lou.
A number of the bars that I frequented over in Germany didn't have urinals. They had the trough.
Yeah, France has a lot of that too. France actually has the trough and like sometimes just a hole in the ground. It looks like it used to be a shower or something. And it costs money. Like you have to pay money to just go use. I want to get off this topic. It's not raging.
Stop. We have gone too far.
It's not going to get us an FCC violation, but this is a family show. And, you know, I just want to say I think it's really stupid for people who don't want the government to act like the government by telling you to sit down when you pee. Hey, I just got a birthday present. I just got a $25 donation. And, you know, if you want – oh, actually, I think it's a button order. So if you want to help me out on my birthday or help the fiends out, presents are nice, but what I'd really prefer – if you want to do it, and I like the money too, I got to say. But what you can do if you don't have even a post 1965 dime, you know, one that's only worth 10 US cents and not $2 worth of silver. If you want to help out, I'm really pushing this hard. Torrent the Freedom Fiends. Go to the Freedom Fiends site, Freedom Foxtrot Echo November Sierra.com, freedomfiends.com. There's a link that says Torrent Club, and it's got a green logo of the uTorrent logo with a halo over it, because I think you are angelic if you torrent the fiends and keep us drone-proof. And there's a little post there that tells you how to keep us drone-proof. And if you really want to help out, you could go to Bola VPN. They're adding a service. It's not just torrent. It's not just a VPN anymore. They're adding torrent seed boxes, and they're one of our advertisers, and they're good people. And I'm running one of their torrent seed boxes. I'm also torrenting from home because the more people torrenting, the quicker it is for people to download it and the longer it'll last. That's kind of how it works. It's kind of like it's not collectivism, but it's all pulling together to do one goal. And that's torrent the fiends and set up the RSS feed in your torrent program, the Fiends RSS torrent. So you automatically download new episodes and torrent them forever. So when I'm droned somewhere between now and my 100th birthday, there'll be a lot of it out there, and it won't be able to be stopped. It will be a virus and a disease of truth and liberty for the kids and the grandkids. So
it's cooperatism. Is that a word? It should be a word.
Yeah. Which is different than
collectivism.
Yeah. Yeah. Cooperate. I think the word is voluntarism combined with, cooperate. I don't know, man. I think you got to make a new t-shirt right now on the air.
Cooperatism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Italians broke into a U.S. Army base and planted pot seeds everywhere.
I heard that rumor.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say torrent seeds for a second. That would have been a different story.
Yeah. Wearing the V for Vendetta inspired Guy Fawkes mask of the Occupy movement. It's not just of them.
That's
but
not fair.
A group of 50 activists in Italy cut through the barbed wire to enter the Fortega U.S. Army base on May 1st. They filmed themselves scattering marijuana seeds as well as some corn and tomato seeds around the compound. According to the press release, which is in Italian, so I can't read it, and we do have a fiend that can read Italian, Iva, who's on the fiends button from Croatia. She also speaks Italian, and she did some translation for me before. She's quite good at it. But according to a press release, the rogue gardeners were part of Italy's No Dal Molan movement, and their actions were in protest of violent U.S. policies. They planted
overgrow the government
200,000 seeds in all to liberate our land from the foundations of war. I like that they planted food as well as pot because I don't smoke pot, but I love me some corn and tomatoes. The statement speaks up against the failed U.S. war on drugs and the corrupt U.S. policies at large. What do y'all think of this, Lou?
There's nothing wrong with some guerrilla gardening.
You were in the U.S. Army, right? Was it the Army?
Yes, I was in the Army, and it was the U.S. Army, too.
And it was over – you were stationed overseas somewhere, right? Were you in Italy?
Yes. No, I never made it down to Italy, but I was I was stationed in Germany, and I lived there after I got out of active duty.
Nice, nice. And did you do any guerrilla gardening while you were in the Army?
Oh, no. I think that's against regulations. I would never do anything of that sort of scofflaw nature.
Tommy, didn't you have a professor with a shirt like this? The professor of privilege?
I call him the privilege professor. Yeah, what it is I took a class called Social Problems, and this was mandatory even though I was not in a related field. But it was essentially teaching me about all the social problems that are my fault because of my privilege. And he used to wear a shirt that said, overgrow the government, and it had a big marijuana leaf on it. And I just thought from my background, it was a strange thing to imagine a professor wearing. But now, having spent some time among professors as an adult, it seems sort of typical.
Yeah. Abby Hoffman, another ANCOM, who actually had a sense of humor, though, unlike most of the ones I've encountered lately. He recommended in his book, Steal This Book, this same tactic of guerrilla
gardening.
Yeah, people
do it.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly, the compound Osama bin Laden was found in was covered with rogue marijuana plants.
How and why?
They just grow like weeds in Afghanistan. So it basically meant he didn't mow his lawn.
Weed just grows like weed in Afghanistan. Yeah, yeah, I would think he would have his entourage go out and trim them because that's something that if it were seen from the air would. I don't know though. Is that a thing in Afghanistan? Is pot illegal in Afghanistan?
I don't know because the government and the rules change so often. I know the Taliban tried to stop whatever sort of drug, whatever was going on, but it grows like a weed there. Like you don't have to cultivate it. It just like grows out of the sidewalk and whatever. Cause you know,
you get in trouble. The TV show, The Newsroom, is about a newscast. You ever seen that show? Either of you guys?
Yeah,
I have.
There's some great scenes out of that show.
Well, he gets in trouble for calling the Republican Party the American Taliban. But when we get back, maybe we'll talk real quick. They're both anti-drug. They're both pro-war on drugs. They both want to keep women in their place. What else they like?
They like stats that's based on their religion.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And that song, going all the way back to 2011, that is Right Arm of Wyoming with their toe-tapping little dance number, Wood Utar and Feather, a Tax Collector. And we're coming to the end of the show here, and I want to thank Davy Barker and Lusander Fien for their service in the Liberty movement. And Lou, you were in the Army. You had something to say about what they're celebrating.
Oh, yeah. As you all know, that this Monday is Memorial Day, and that's where we remember the fallen soldiers that didn't make it back so that they could get listed as potential domestic terrorists by Obama and the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, in the Patriot Act, which we call the Jail All the Patriot Acts. So this is what we like to call the redemption in the third act, the part of the program where we wrap everything up. And that is a reference to the hero's journey, which is a method of storytelling which people come to expect in some ways, to not just have everything happen all at once, to have sort of a character arc and a beginning, middle, and end. And as they said on Stewie said on Family Guy, friends become enemies, enemies become friends, everyone's a little richer for the experience, which pretty much describes every Hollywood movie ever. And, you know, it's when you learn about the hero's journey, you kind of look at movies and stories as a little more contrived, because they teach people. People learn. People go to seminars, go to college, read books, take DVD seminars, go to hear speeches by failed screenwriters who say they were successful, telling them how to, you know, those who can do, those who can't teach. But it is really good to learn the hero's journey. And Ben Stone is going to be giving a speech at Porkfest about storytelling, which is going to include stuff I've taught him about the hero's journey. Now, let's talk a little bit about Porkfest. All three of us are going to be there. Have you two met? I haven't met either of you. We're going to meet, though.
Not in person, I don't think.
Nope. And this is my first time even talking to Davy.
Really? Wow.
Really? I feel like I know you. I must just listen to all your episodes.
That's the power of one person speaking to another. And, you know, people ask me, why aren't you still making movies? Because I feel like spoken, talking, radio, audio, first of all, it's a lot easier. I mean, it takes me, you know, 3 hours with editing to make an hour and a half of quality media. To make an hour and a half long movie that's good, it takes me like a year. So I'd rather do this. And the file sizes are smaller. They're easier to share. They're more likely to be around in perpetuity. But mainly it's that the power of one human being speaking to another is the most powerful form of human communication. Well, especially if you can say it. And that's why we like talking. And that's why we like Porkfest, because we're going to get to go speak in person to each other, which is even better than doing it on the radio. So talk a little bit about what y'all plan to do there and enjoy there.
Well, I have deliberately turned down speaking gigs. I'm going as a vacation, but I am going to be vending. So Shiny Badges will be there. Bitcoin Not Bombs merchandise will be there. And now I've got a whole kind of line of Pork Scouts merchandise that'll be there. And I'm there to propagate. I'm there as a propagandist.
And this is Rogers Campground, Porcupine Freedom Festival, called the Pork Fest for short.
Porcupine.
It's Freedom in New Festival, Hampshire. Yeah. It's Rogers Campground. It's Lancaster, New Hampshire, June 22nd to 29th. You can go to porkfest.com, and that's not pork like the meat. That's PORCFEST.com.
It's C like fark.
Like fark. Pork. Fark fest. Pork fest. So, yeah. Lou, what are you going to do there?
Well, this is going to be my first time going out there, so I'm going to check out some of the different presentations, like the storyteller one and DIY or die.
You're going to be one of the armed guards to keep the order on my private property speeches there, in case a bunch of feminists, anarcho-leftist feminists, show up and try to shout me down.
Well, if they're wearing thigh-high combat boots, I might be with them. But I'm also going to be doing a couple episodes of The Fiends from there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be doing some without me, too. You're doing, like, this Sunday night. No, which one? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm doing the two Sunday days and the first Sunday night. But the power of Fiends is you can get people together that have never met, never spoken. They have microphones. They can do a show and not even look at the show notes.
You know, eventually maybe we should open source the Freedom Fiends. So there's like 50 shows called the Freedom Fiends. We could license it. For one Bitcoin, you can be a Freedom Fiend and have your own Freedom Fiend show. Freedomfiends.fark, freedomfiends.net, freedomfiends.uk.bit.p2p. Hey guys, thanks for helping me. .gov, freedomfiends.gov. I had a good preview to my birthday here tomorrow, 50th birthday. I feel young. I think I sound young. I don't know if I look young, but yeah, I'm going to go hang upside down so I can still feel young. Thanks, Davy Barker and Lusander Fiend. Worms.
Happy birthday, Michael, and thank you for the good worms.
Thanks, man. Thank you for your service, guys.